Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with two of my persons, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens with you as well. Happy Wednesday. Oh, no. You know what that means. You know what that means. It is a Wednesday. Welcome to the show. We are closer and closer and closer to that game on Saturday.
I was telling somebody this morning, a friend of mine, I said,
it's going to be a cold one.
I saw a story on one of those aggregate websites this morning, the most popular sandwiches in the 1950s. I said, I'm very interested
egg
in this.
Egg salad.
It was a video and I didn't have time to watch the video. I was hoping it was a list of like the top
and
sandwiches.
Cheese.
Have you ever had
a Vegemite sandwich?
No, I have not.
Our buddy Aussie
guy, he loves it.
He bought me one.
And
not my favorite. I took one bite. I was like, oh, because it was when I worked at Jack Stack. I brought it in.
Smoke the Vegemite in there smoker?
He bought it. It was in like a cellophane like bag.
Yeah.
And I took it in there, and my buddy's like, what is that? Like a, you know, like a bagel? I was like, eh.
Oh.
I was like, no, it's a Vegemite sandwich.
Like, do they sell that at Hy-Vee Vegemite?
I don't know if he brought it back. There's probably some like Whole Foods store at like City Market that sells them. It was
not good.
I don't want to say that. It was interesting.
Okay, what's it made out of?
Vegemite?
Yeah.
I don't, like...
It's not meat, though, right?
No.
It's not like the Australian version of Spam or something
like
that.
No, it's almost like, what is it? It's almost like a Fig Newton, but, like, has a different... It was interesting.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba! I'm loving it! Hello, everybody! Happy Wednesday!
But, no, I don't... I mean, it was... Man, it's like the Australian Nutella.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of Vegemite?
You've never heard of this song?
Yeah.
Men at Work?
Yeah, is it Men at Work? I come from a land down under.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A Vegemite sandwich?
And give me a piece of my breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a Vegemite sandwich.
You have a guess at what we're coming back with?
I mean, yeah, exactly. A Men at Work. I've never heard of that song before. Oh, I know that song.
Yeah, and Aussie just texted me. He said, World Market in Westport has it. So if you want a Vegemite sandwich, Mac, go grab
What kind of bread did you eat it on?
It was like on an onion roll.
Okay, It wasn't bad.
It was interesting.
Texture of mush, though, right?
Like a Fig Newton's. What the texture was? It was brown and like it was interesting.
Are you to the stage of your life now where, like, for me, texture never mattered to me in food. Now all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm not into like soft foods like dates, like some.
Oh, I mean, if you're eating dates, I don't know why you would eat a date.
Like a date wrapped in bacon somebody served one time. I thought they were scallops.
Where do you eat?
My friend makes crap like all the time.
Emily was weird taking sour cream to a restaurant. Now I love her. I'm like,
totally agree with this. And over here, Bob's like, yeah, I eat dates with bacon wrapped dates.
My friend, years ago on New Year's Eve, we went to his house in Chicago right after COVID.
And he's out of here. That's the food you're serving.
and he's a foodie, right? And I'm like, I don't like. Oh, you got to try them. No, I don't. It's not good. It's not. And so that's like for me, like texture started to kick in.
Yeah.
And so like if it's a soft like mush texture, I don't know that I'm in if that's what Vegemite really is.
So Jayhawk for Life on the text line says Vegemite is a very salty yeast. It is a yeast extract. So, I mean, it's again. I'm one of those guys because my friends have made me this way to like try everything once. Because I used to be a kid like,
well, that's what we tell
gross.
The kids. Take 10 bites, and if you don't like
10?
It after, that's what they say. They say what? 7 to 10 bites is what you need to have really try something, right? You take one bite, you're like, nah, I don't like this. How do you know? You barely tried it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was 3 bites. Now it's 10. Yeah,
now they're saying 7 to 10 bites is what you need to have.
The economy is rough.
To make sure that, well, I mean, hey, we're cooking all this food.
Like, inflation's tough, man. We gotta take 10 bites of your food.
And I'm also to the point now where wasting food just drives me up a wall. And we make food nobody eats, and then you throw it away week later. And you're like, what are we doing here?
Well, that's what I asked my dad when it's like a year ago. I asked my dad, I was like, did we not eat salmon when we were younger because we were poor? He's like, no, because you would have never ate it.
Never. My kids eat
salmon. Because salmon's really not that expensive. Like, I think the Costco, you can get like 6 fillets for like $33. Yeah. And I was like, questioning myself, I'm like, why is that? And it's like, I don't know. And like as a kid, never ate Brussels sprouts, never ate broccoli, ate asparagus.
But see, I watched something on Food Network over the weekend, and it was about cauliflower.
Bobby Flay?
I don't know what it was. I forget what it was, but they're like, if you don't like cauliflower, you're a child of the 70s and the 80s where you just got a bag of mushed cauliflower in the microwave from your mom. And I'm like, absolutely. That's how we had cauliflower. They threw a bag of frozen cauliflower in a bowl and you ate it. And it was awful. It came out terrible. So to your point, the Brussels sprout thing, we were making them wrong. Now we add lard, bacon, onion, fat. More lard, more bacon, they're wonderful, right? The bacon jelly and all that kind of stuff. We roast them. Like, we've expanded the way we cook right now. So I'm like, all right, maybe I give cauliflower another shot if somebody roasts it or something. But
speaking of a transition into sports, if you roast it a lot and you give another shot, DJ Humphrey's a left tackle. What do you think?
I'm so over
How about
this
that text
story.
Line? Yeah. You like that text line?
That was good. Was somebody saying talk sports already
They're
this morning?
They're being funny, though.
Oh, okay, because my thing was I brought up the sandwiches because I'm like, I'm more interested in that because it's Wednesday. I need the game to start right now.
For
like,
sure.
I'm ready for football
it's actually
now,
Thursday,
right?
By the way.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. In Chiefs Kingdom, it is Thursday. Yeah. Sorry. In Arrowhead, it's Thursday. That's in the outside world, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
But no,
tell your boss that.
I'm ready for the game, right? Like, I know because we really haven't had a game since Christmas, guys.
Our biggest talking point for the last 2 days in Kansas City Chiefs Kingdom is left tackle.
Yeah, and I talked to somebody in the organization about that, and I finally got a response last night about it, about the left tackle position. So clearly it's something that they're discussing.
Right.
And the text I sent was, is this a real thing that the discussion of left tackle?
You were talking about that yesterday, yeah.
And the response back that I got was daily. I'm like, oh, okay. So, like,
daily in house?
It's
real.
It is. Yeah, it is God. Real. And I'll say this. I was listening to Boomer Esiason talk football yesterday, and he said he's here, and DJ Humphreys is going to be the guy at left tackle, right? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, okay, let's do the say it out loud test with this. I want everybody to do the say it out loud test. Do you want one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL going up against a guy who really hasn't played in a year? Or do you want Joe Tooney to play the left tackle position?
Right.
I am more comfortable myself with Joe Tooney. If they start DJ Humphreys to me and it goes bad and we lose the game or something and DJ Humphreys is like, oh my God, this guy's terrible, it's going to go down as Andy's biggest blunder in Kansas City. I think you stick with what's working right now, and that's Joe Tooney and Frank Caliendo on the left side. You played against the Houston Texans with these guys a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Did you not? Right?
You must be fired up.
I am. Like, this is one that I want to get in front of this and let everybody know. Do not mess with the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You mess with your quarterback psyche all year with this offensive line.
Right.
You finally found one that's working, and there's questions. Now, I know Andy and all those guys, they can say they know more football than me. I get all that. I understand all that. But the way that I look at it is, DJ Humphreys really hasn't played in over a year.
Yeah. And he played one game, and got hurt with a hamstring injury?
I don't know, man. What do you guys think about that? That's my take. Like, it's frustrating for me because I see something that's working just fine. I'm like, you don't mess with what's working. Now, they could put DJ Humphreys out there. He could be wonderful on Saturday afternoon.
So, I think I'd seen you guys' text. They did the Tooney experiment at the start of the Cleveland in the, right? Was that the first game?
The Tooney time he went in was the Raider game.
So it was week 13.
It was after they had a bad play or whatever, and you saw Mahomes' reaction, and Wanya Morris hit the bricks, and Joe Tooney moved out to left side.
So he started week 14, essentially.
Week 14 was probably the first time Joe Tooney started.
Three sacks in that game, right? That was the most. After that, there was one sack the rest of the year for Mahomes. And obviously, he didn't play week 18.
Right.
But he was sacked one time, and that was in that Houston Texans game in week 16. No sacks week 17. No sacks week 15. One sack in week 16. And I sent you this, too. The deep ball was there, right? He had Justin Watson with that deep ball on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And
those were playoff teams that they were playing. Remember that gauntlet that we talked about?
3-11.
Yeah. We had the Chargers playoff team. We had, Cleveland doesn't count. Houston playoff team. And then the Steelers playoff team. I mean, those are good teams,
and
right?
You can poo-poo on Cleveland all you want. Great defensive line.
Myles Garrett was shut out of that game. Remember, Myles Garrett did not have an impact in that game.
Well, and pressures. A lot of pressures, but yes.
But again,
no sacks.
And again, I don't know. I mean, I consider myself a nerd, a little bit more than you. Max a little bit more than a nerd than I am.
No doubt.
But why?
Once he gets older, he won't be.
Why do you mess with this?
Yeah, this is one of those things that seems like human nature type stuff. Not football coaching, not teacher student, it's not I know more than you. This seems like.
It's I'm going to take the seat off my bike just because of the way that it feels.
Yeah.
Mutt, Blink-182, greatest song of all time by them. Nice. But it's it's weird that because this seems like Andy's forte. Right? Offensive line coach in the past, turned into quarterback coach, turned into offensive coordinator, turned into head coach. And it's again, I will never question Andy Reid. I've seen two back-to-back championships. I've seen three in my life. But this is one, this is one of those things where I'm this is a discussion. This is one of those things where it's we brought this guy in to play left tackle. We brought this guy in to be that guy. Joe Tooney's better at the left guard. And then the other side of it is everyone will say, the run game has been down since they've moved Tooney to left tackle. And this is a game in which the Houston Texans, how do you soften an aggressive front line? You run the ball right at them. And when you do that, they can't pin their ears back. They can't come after you. They got to, think about it. They got to do different stunts. They've got to do different,
When has Andy ever committed to the run to allow that to happen?
And that was my argument. It's when has this team ever been a run first, run second, hell, run third team?
Run four, because if you're going to commit to the run, Dusty, right? To me, you commit to the run and you do not throw the football. The commitment to the run that we've seen is first and 10, gain of one. Throw!
Yeah.
Immediately abandon the run.
Is Caliendo just not a good guard?
I think he's been really good. The people that I've talked to about Caliendo have been wow, we're kind of impressed. We didn't realize he was going to be this good.
I mean, if Caliendo hadn't been this good, this would not be
Have you
a
noticed
discussion.
Caliendo? Be honest with yourselves.
No.
The only Caliendo I know is from stand-up, right? And that's a good thing. That's not a knock.
Good.
The only thing I watch on the offensive line is the left tackle and the right tackle.
I
see if Juwan Taylor's going to jump, and I see if Tooney's going to pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally all. I think it's hilarious. The Texans brought this up a couple times, so respect to them. Humphreys and Tooney is like Gerback and Gannon.
That's a great point, man. That I love that. God. That's why you have to learn from history.
What are we doing here? Just do it. Just go out there. And
that's a great text. Whoever texted the Gerbach, give me goosebumps, bro. That's awesome. That's the best way to put it for Kansas City.
Yeah, it's one of those things where just go with a hot hand. Just stick with it. Let it be. Don't change it up. Just.
What are you quoting the Beatles?
Stay with your left. And again, I don't know. Again, I don't know how they gamble in the NFL. This is just smoke screens. But again, how great is it that we're talking left tackle, left guard? That's where we're at.
Yeah. But
it's Houston media is going, oh boy. I mean, Worthy, Humphreys, they got this guy named Mahomes, Kelsey. So
want to start Humphreys on the other side in place of Juwan Taylor, I'm open to that conversation. But I just think Joe Tooney's been playing great. And yeah, like the text line said, the Gerbach-Gannon comparison, we've
spot on
this,
good.
Man. That's why I said, if Andy does this and it doesn't work, this will go down as Andy's biggest blunder. And we'll be talking about it on Monday going, what did they do that for?
So unfortunately for you, Mac, you're a little younger, but did you ever dive into the Gerbach-Gannon?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Ask players who were on that team about that.
Oof. Divisional round coverage brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs.
Changed everybody's opinion of Marty inside that locker room.
Oh, boy. Yesterday was all about Mahomes. Today it's all about 87. We'll explain on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Really thought we were going to get Men Without Hats? Or Men at Work?
Men at Work, yeah. Men Without Hats is different, I think.
Yeah, that's you can dance if you want to. Yes. You can leave your old friends behind.
The 80s was a weird decade of music,
so
my friends.
So did you ever see the movie Biodome?
No. I've heard of Biodome. Wait, was that with Keanu, Keanu Reeves?
Pauly Shore and one of the Baldwins. Steven.
Alec?
Nah, it's Steven.
Billy?
Am I?
Bobby?
No, I think it's Stephen Baldwin. I'm just naming. Great movie. I thought you guys cared about the environment. No, we're just trying to get laid. Greatest quote of that movie. Welcome into Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Leggins. What? DMV?
Yeah.
Bob almost got laid at the DMV by somebody not named Jim.
I got hit on at the DMV.
So let me ask you this. This is a fair
greatest question. Place on earth. I know nobody likes the DMV. I'm going back every day.
This is a fair question. Would your wife give you a hall pass to lay one out at the DMV if you got the first spot in line every time you went in?
No. No. You don't go to the DMV that much, right? I mean, how often do you go to the DMV?
Once every 2 years.
Oh, really?
Well, you got to get your plates renewed.
Oh, you can do that through the mail in Kansas. Most of the stuff in Kansas you can do through the mail. And so
it's not.
It's time to move.
Lee Summit's on the come, man. Is it has been for like 20 years.
No, you're right. It has been.
Build a whole new farmer's market downtown.
Get that dew drop in back, and then I'll tell you Lee Summit would definitely be on the come. So I take my dog.
On the come.
One more time. So good you hear it twice.
On the come.
I take my youngest to get her picture for her permit yesterday, right? And so we have this appointment at 4:15. We walk in and, you know, I've got to have my license as well. So I look at it like, oh, it expires in April, my birthday, right? Like, oh, okay, I'm here. You know, nobody likes going to the DMV. And of course, my 14-year-old's asking all these questions about the DMV. I'm like, I really can't talk about the DMV in front of the people that work at the DMV, right? I'll do that on the radio tomorrow morning. And, you know, just like she doesn't understand, like nobody wants to go
to
the DMV.
She'll learn.
She'll learn fast.
You're going to learn.
But maybe by the time she's to that stage, everything will be done through the mail, right? Like everything will be done. You'll never have to go down there, right? And so nobody likes a DMV, and there's all these chairs, and my daughter's like, why are all these chairs here? I'm like, you have no idea what it used to be like at the DMV. You have to sit here all day. It was a miserable experience. Nobody was happy. And so we get there. I'm like, oh, my driver's license is going to expire. I'm like, I might as well get it done, right? Get it done while I'm here. And of course, the guy at the front desk is like, I don't know if anybody's going to have time. There's nobody in the place. There's like five workers, right? I don't know if anybody's going to have time. We close at 4:40 and it's 4:15, 4:20. I'm like,
what time?
4:20, 4:15, 4:30, right in that wheelhouse, right?
Place it.
Cool.
And so I take my daughter to, like, she gets called to stand number 12 or whatever it is, and stand number 13 is next to stand number 12. So I'm standing at stand 12. My daughter goes up. We start talking to the guy, and there's a woman sitting there at the next stand, and she puts her hair up. She goes, oh, it is so hot in here, and starts, flashing her, not flashing, that's the wrong term to use, but like moving her shirt to cool
those
off,
cans,
right?
Baby.
and I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here. Immediately see what's going on here, right? And I'm like, hey, do you have time to take my picture and give me a new license? She goes, yeah, I'm not doing anything else right now. I got 5 minutes. She goes, put your face in here, look at the eye test,
what
get a reline five.
Put your face in here, she's flashing you.
The eye testing, you gotta put your head on it, right? And so I read line five, got my eggs. I'm looking at the screen.
What are we doing here, dude? Stay focused, Bob.
Got my eyes done. Look good. Everything's great. Yes. I have a wool hat on, you know, because it's cold outside. Yeah. So I take my hat off. My hair's all messy. She goes, oh, it looks wonderful. Nobody cares what your hair looks like. It's all about right here. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I take the picture. It's probably going to be terrible. My daughter, you know, picked her up at school. She went home, put on makeup, did her hair. Like, this was a production for the permit driver test. And so I continue to talk to this lady, and I'm cracking jokes and, you know, having a, you know, conversation. And as we're getting ready to leave, she says, do you have somebody that's you 10 years older for me?
Wow.
And I said, no, unfortunately I don't, but you know, I appreciate the effort. And we'll talk later. And so we get home. And
sliding in the DMVs.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. So we get home, and my youngest walks in and goes, Mom, you have no idea. Dad pulls.
That's dope.
Dad pulls.
I could just hear Jen being like, what does that mean?
What are you saying?
Follow-up question, how do you know that?
But they come home all the time if I'm out with them. They go, another woman hit on mom, hit on dad today, you know? Maybe hit on mom as well.
She's a beautiful lady.
Absolutely. You get hit on in your late 40s, man, that feels good. So I am going to strut around today, man. I am going to take that George Jefferson strut around the building today.
I guess I can do it online. Thank you, text line. I didn't know I could do that.
Oh, you've been going down there for no reason, huh?
Well, I got the cheat code last year because our buddy Jeremy Danner was telling me. He's like, if you go in there and ask him if you can get like the cheat code where you like set up your appointment on online and then go to the DMV, you move right in the front of the line. I've never been looked at more hated in my life than doing that.
Well, that's not your problem. That's like everybody else's problem for not making an appointment online.
I walked out of that DMV like I was like, you know, Vince McMahon back in the 90s.
George Jefferson down there. You didn't even get hit on.
No chance. But what you got.
We've all been there where you sit for hours at the DMV. It's a miserable experience.
And you get to the spot. They're like, do you have this?
And you never have what they need, right?
Here's a yellow slip. Come back when you have it. You can go to the front of the line. Oh,
right. Okay. I mean, because the woman in front of us with her son getting their permit was the same way. Like, oh, I don't have that. She had a stack of paper. It's like, when you go to the DMV, bring everything that you own. That way you have it. That way you have it.
Yeah, kitchen sink. Nah, it's crazy. I would definitely have sex with the lady at the DMV if I got first spot in line.
Well,
every time
you're also not married.
Key stat.
That is a good factor.
I mean, that is a big, big factor right there.
Dusty's like, yeah, man, totally.
Key stat.
I was like, okay, I'm happily
married and got kids. Dusty's like, I'd do it. Like, you're single. Of course you should do it.
Yes, sir. Give a hell if she's 75. Let's get it on, baby.
Front of the line, sure.
Sweet.
It wasn't that bad.
Did you pull your tab for your next spot in line?
No.
I'm tagging. Travis Kelce, man. It is that time of year. We talked yesterday about Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Travis Kelce, man, in the playoff is a different breed, man. He just has all sorts of numbers. Last year, 32 receptions, 355 yards, 3 touchdowns. I'd love to see that again.
Yeah.
Guy that's been rested for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks. Everyone said throughout the year, like, just wait. 2 years ago, 27 receptions, 257 yards, 4 touchdowns. In fact, in a 9-year playoff stretch, he is the leader. Career totals indicate an all-time career record. 165 receptions, right? Past Jerry Rice. Has a chance to pass Jerry Rice in touchdowns this year as well. But his career in the playoffs, 165 receptions, 1,903 yards, and 19 touchdowns.
How many touchdowns?
19.
That's how many playoff games?
22.
So basically won a game. I was thinking Mahomes 18 playoff games, right? Because he had a couple before that. And Travis wasn't great in the playoffs. He was really bad in the postseason for the first couple of years. He was dropping balls and things like that. Then Mahomes took over. He's been nothing but
fantastic. So his first year ever in the playoffs was in 2015. He had 14 receptions for 151 yards, 0 touchdowns. Then it went 5 receptions.
What year was that?
2015. Then in 2016, he had 5. 2017, he had 4. And then the Mahomes era starts. 10 receptions, 19, 31, 23, 27, 32.
31.
That's right. Since 2019, he's had at least 200 receiving yards in the playoffs. He had 360 in 2020. He had 355 last year, which was his second highest, and 3 touchdowns last year. This is why throughout the year we all said it doesn't matter what he does throughout the regular season. Just stay healthy, stay right. And then the playoffs, Travis Kelce kind of, you know, ups his game.
Right.
He's rested. Last year was the same sort of narrative. It was like, well, Travis Kelce, you know, down here, it wasn't his normal, like, 1,000-yard receiving season. Wasn't his big Travis Kelce numbers. Oh, my fantasy team is struggling. But then when the playoffs start, Travis Kelce turns it on. Last year, he had 11 yards per reception. So almost a first down every time he catches the ball. In fact, he had 19 first down receptions last year.
Well, that's insane. And you know, we talked about Andy Reid in the first segment making a mistake potentially with the left tackle position this week. Andy Reid has been a genius over the last couple of years in managing Travis Kelce and understanding what's important. And I know fantasy owners don't like that, but Andy Reid doesn't care about your fantasy team. And that's why when people talk during the regular season about Travis Kelce and say he's washed and all this nonsense that people throw out there, I say, you don't understand how to watch football when it comes to an Andy Reid coach team. He's not washed. He's preserving the gentleman for the playoffs when they know that they need to be at their best. And that's why Andy Reid is a better coach than yours. Whoever your coach is, Andy Reid is better because he understands how to put his people in position to be successful. And for Travis Kelce to be successful at the most important time of the year, you just dial it back during the regular season. It doesn't matter. What matters is now until 25 days, because we're 25 days away from Super Bowl Sunday. That's all that matters, the next 25 days. Then it's 24. Then it's see how you count down. Mm-hmm. And so basically what matters is the next 3 weeks. That is it. For the entire season, the only thing that matters is what happens the next 3 weeks. And if Andy Reid overused Travis Kelce and he got hurt or something like that happened, all the people who say Travis Kelce is washed would be ripping Andy Reid for using him too much during the regular season. Mm. You should have preserved him for the playoffs. So he preserves him for the playoffs, and then people say he's washed. So it's a no-win situation, but I guarantee you that Travis Kelce is the guy, when this thing is all said and done this year, that we're going to be talking about, and he's going to be the most impactful member of this organization.
Do you think there's anybody else that stands up this year in the playoffs? I mean, I know that we've seen a lot from these guys. I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins is a name that we could see in this playoff stretch that, you know, now all of a sudden doesn't matter how many snaps he plays because you got the compensatory number one pick, or the first pick in the third round. Thank you, Tennessee. But also, it's like when you watch these playoffs and they start to ramp up and you see 87 kind of turn it on, it lets you know like where this team is every single year because they know what they have to do to get by throughout the regular season. Now, getting by and going 15-2 seems kind of like ignorant to say out loud because you went 15-2. What does that mean to get by? Travis Kelce had his, you know, statistically his worst year of his career, right, this year because
he's also his oldest he's ever been.
Fair point.
Wow, really? Okay.
Interesting stat there.
Yeah.
Take that, ML football. This is the oldest Travis Kelce has been. Yeah. Just wait.
Just wait. They will.
But I do find it interesting that when you look at this Chiefs run, and we talked about this dynasty, you know, yesterday and what it means and all these people that have been so impactful in this dynasty, it is crazy how, like, when it comes to the playoffs, these two, 87 and 15, seem to just find that next step.
That's right.
They tend to like go to that special page in the playbook, and it's like, let's get back to brass tacks. Let's get to the first down, because that's the thing about the playoffs. Clock management, time of possession. I mean, I watched Buffalo against Denver, and Buffalo, and, you know, they give up the 7 points right away, and, you know, Denver scored bang, bang, bang. And then Denver never scored again. And on Buffalo's first drive, it was so methodical. It was so, like, played out. And it was like, they don't panic. And
I'd like to see a game like that out of us this weekend.
I think
you will.
I think you will because the one thing that this offense has to do is tire out that defense because that defensive line is nasty. Houston, right? They got a bunch of big dogs in that team. We already talked about Will Anderson Jr. yesterday. Uh-huh. And not Will Anderson. Yeah, Will Anderson, and we talk about those guys. The way that you break that down is how like infuriating is it when you play the Chiefs in the playoffs and it's third and five and then it's bang, 7 yard catch to Travis Kelce, first down. That's three more points.
What I like most out of Travis now, and he's only done it a couple of times, but what I really like is when he knows he has the first down and he just lies down.
He just falls down. He's like, eh.
Well, because that's smart. Why take the wear and tear? What, for an extra yard to get pounded by some guy? What's the point?
We've seen Tyler Lockett do it for years. Just fall down.
Just fall down. Yeah. And Travis is doing that, and I love it. And I will take your Travis Kelce for seven and raise you a Mahomes run for six.
And
those are the daggers.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the daggers.
And that's what's, I mean, it's got to be from the other side of the opponent's view is like, what's more frustrating? Like, you have the Chiefs on their heels, third and seven, bang, Travis Kelce, 8 yards, three more downs, maybe four when it comes to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, or the third and 13, and all of a sudden everybody's covered in the secondary, and then Mahomes takes off for a 15-yard run.
That's right.
Like, you'll see multiple times you'll see that happen in the playoffs. It's happened enough to know that it's there, but it is.
And there's nothing anybody can do to stop it.
That to me is a major talking point because we talked all year because if you want to see if we can be right every once in a while, I know we get it wrong every time in the script, but you think about that when it comes to the playoffs, like, is there going to be that connection again that is still there, which is right as rain, which is 87 and 15 in the playoffs. It just happens to click better than anybody else because we saw with Brady and Gronk. It was, you know, when Gronk went back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Brady, it was halfway through the season, I believe. And then in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, Brady and Gronk connected for a touchdown. It was just like, it doesn't go away. It's one of those things that, like, you can just lean on and consider a free space on the bingo card. And that is what these Chiefs will do in the playoffs is that, the regular season, you can say what you want about Travis Kelce. But again, what do we always say? It matters about the playoffs. And when Travis Kelce is doing what he does in the playoffs last year, again, 355 yards in the playoffs, four touchdowns. I think Travis Kelce may have more touchdowns in the playoffs than Justin Herbert.
Than the regular. What do you have? Three in the regular season? Two? I think he will have more touchdowns. I don't know that he's going to match the 335 this year because he has one less game to do it, right? So take that away. But if he gets you about 100 a game, if you get between 75 and 100 a game and a touchdown a game, that's all you need. Big play here or there type of stuff. And Travis will bring that to you. But the other thing is, too, while I think Travis is going to be the guy in the playoffs this year, Last year, he had to be the guy in the playoffs, right? There was literally nobody else to throw the football to. Well, there were guys, but nobody had hands. They were running around with nubs. you know, and you ever see somebody with no hands? Just a nub on there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's what Kadarius Toney was, right? And yeah, and you know, nobody was good. And so now, but they've got other guys now that they can rely on, right? You got DeAndre Hopkins, who, I mean, you talk about it. I'm not saying I was ignorant on DeAndre Hopkins. I knew he was good. I didn't realize he was this good. Like, the guy's a magnet for the football. Anything thrown in his general direction, he's catching. So you got him. You've got, you know, Xavier Worthy, who leads the team with 9 touchdowns this year. I think he's going to have a big playoff as well.
Me too.
And you've got a two-headed running back right now with the opportunity to do more out of the running back position than you did even a year ago with Jerick McKinnon and some of these guys. And really, if you want to factor in Pirine, that's a three-headed running back
and
in that
Hollywood
situation.
Brown. Yeah, and Hollywood Brown and Noah Gray. It never ends.
Yeah, like the offensive weapons that are just going to be thrown out these teams over the next 25 days. It's insanity, man. It's like HDH every night from a weapon standpoint. You better find a way to, you know, stack some points early in this one because the Chiefs are just going to throw waves of weapons at you.
17 touchdowns in the last 16 games, Travis Kelce.
Pretty good.
Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a fifth time.
All he's got to do is pull that thing down and run and get as much positive yardage as he can. There were 5 to 7 yards easy there to be made. We saw Buffalo do this to him all day long because they're not always disciplined in their lanes. But if he pulls this thing down right there, he has a good 5-7 yards, if not more.
Right.
I mean, take what's there.
Throw it, man.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Such a great audio clip there. Paul Allen, baby.
Paul Allen's the best, man. Like, he's what we do in his day job, and then he calls the games as well. So he's broadcasting the game from a talk show host perspective, which I think is fantastic. He's awesome.
When's the last time you said that to Mahomes?
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Throw it?
Yeah.
Just throw it, man.
Well, there's one time. And it, like, the
Were
last
you screamed
time.
Like Paul Allen?
Yeah. The last time I've been mad at Patrick Mahomes right before halftime of the first AFC Championship game against the Patriots when he took a sack.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Yeah, they didn't score in that first half, right? That would have been their first 3 points.
Had they scored 3 points there, there's no overtime, there's no D Ford, they win that football game.
That's huge.
I think the last time I've ever been frustrated was in that Raiders game on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Because what, they scored 14 points on almost like back-to-back plays where they fumbled
the handoff. They scored 14 points in 7 seconds.
They fumbled the handoff, and then I think what he threw
an interception. Yeah.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Do you think he did that, though, on purpose, just to send a message like, I got nothing out here, man. Screw this.
No.
You know?
No, probably not.
I would say the second half of that AFC Championship game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
They rushed 3 the whole time. He held it for 10 seconds behind the line of scrimmage. He'd get sacked. I mean, I was very upset.
You were Paul Allen?
I was Paul Allen.
Throw it, man.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
I mean, damn, Sam Darnold, dude.
So, Sam Darnold, I was listening to some NFL stuff yesterday. It all starts to blend together, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody had said, who covers the NFL, they think Darnold went from like a 4-year, $220 million contract or 5-year, $220, whatever it is, to a 1-year, $5 million contract because of that performance. The dude was sacked 9 times. Not all of that is on the offensive line, as you heard Paul Allen say.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
I mean, yeah. I mean, now, I will say Sam Darnold, that's tough, man. Because, like, if you're J.J. McCarthy, you're like, all right, here's my chance.
He better go out and ball, though, man.
Did you see what he tweeted?
Huh.
Amor fati.
Love, fate.
The love of someone's fate. Yeah. So JJ tweeted that during the game, like right after the game.
Really?
Yeah. Amor fati.
Huh.
So I don't know. You can interpret that whatever way you want. But I was kind of like, eh.
What was that guy's name? Goat Man? Was that his name?
Saturday Night Live? Goat Boy? Wasn't it?
No, it's Jim Brewer. No, it was Carpe Diem.
Carpe Diem?
Yeah, but wasn't it your show that they did that? Carpe Diem?
as like a fan that used to call in all the time. I forget what his name was. I thought it was Goatman.
I worked with a guy who always said Carpe Diem.
But that wasn't the here. Day.
Yeah. I just want to win, Jen.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we get to Jay Binkley.
Oh, yeah, baby. He's ready to go. He's excited to talk football.
I don't know if he's more ready for the Chiefs to play or for the national championship that is still like another week away, it seems like. We'll talk to Jay Binkley on their side here on Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Pull out your can of skull, or your Zen, or your Rogue, or whatever it is, and put it in your lip. It's Jay Binkley time here on 96.5 The Fan. Mr. Binkley, how are you on this frigid morning, sir?
What's going on, fellas? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
How are you?
Are you in a bathroom right now?
No, I'm not in a bathroom right now.
I didn't know if you were dropping an upper deck while you're doing the show.
No, but that probably would be a good idea.
Have you ever had a Vegemite sandwich?
Never have. I don't even know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the bottom of the beer barrel that they mash together and put it on bread. I'm sure you've had that in your life.
Yeah.
Don't think I have.
What is your go-to sandwich? If you could make one just real easy, real quick, what do you go with?
Ooh, steak sandwich.
Okay.
Well, You said real easy. Yeah. So I'd say like cold cuts, like roast beef, salami, that kind of stuff.
You big roast beef guy?
He goes salami. Of course he does, yes.
I figured you'd be like a bologna and cheese guy on white bread with mustard.
No, you know, I haven't had bologna in years.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. I call baloney. Binkley, Saturday's game against the Houston Texans. What scares you most about the Houston Texans?
I don't know. Not a ton. I mean, it was a pretty sloppy game. I mean, that Chargers game. I mean, they did win. That defense did look good. I mean, that pass rush. I guess the pass rushers. I know they only had one sack against the Chiefs the last time they played. But I would definitely say the pass rush of the Texans, or the Chiefs just hurt themselves. I mean, really the only team that could beat the Chiefs are the Chiefs.
That's right.
They're just better than anybody else. If it's no turnovers, which they've really cut down on, they're doing an awesome job taking the ball away. I think they could hurt themselves, and if anybody beats them, it'll be themselves. But I don't think another team can go out and do it.
Jay, I think if Andy Reid starts Humphreys at left tackle and it goes bad, it's his biggest blunder since the Indianapolis game in 2014. I don't think you mess with something that's working right now. What do you think the Chiefs ought to do with their offensive line?
Well, I mean, Tooney isn't your prototypical, left tackle, but it is working. But the other thing is the Texans have seen it before, because that was a game that that he was out there left tackle, so the Texans would be prepared for it on Joe Tooney. But with all that rest and everything, listen, it's not a long term answer, but it's a short term answer. And I would not jack with what's working. If it's working with Tooney out there, that's the way I would keep it, because I think it would be better to prepare for that than to be a left guard. Then all of a sudden, DJ Humphries can't get the job done. Then you're switching out to left tackle. I would just have the mindset going in this way: we're going to do it.
When you look at the Chiefs and they get to the playoffs and they get to ramp it up, are you excited to see what Mahomes and Kelce are doing, or is this going to be the first time in the playoffs where that connection isn't the main focal point for this offense?
I think it's still going to be a main focal point. I mean, it's already there. I mean, you were just talking about the other day, he passed to Rice last year in catches, and he has a chance for yards and, of course, goes on a run, can catch him in touchdowns. But that connection is what it is, and I think that connection's a special connection. I think sometimes teams look at it and kind of peel off that direction because they don't think that Travis Kelce and Mahomes have that deep connection anymore. But when you get to the postseason, things start amping up. I mean, last year in the postseason, Travis Kelce looked like a different guy than he did in the regular season. Not that he wasn't good in the regular season, which he was, but that he was unstoppable in the postseason.
All right, Jay, college football finally has its championship game on Monday night. They have the Ohio State Buckeyes taking on a random team. Have the playoffs been a success, Jay?
I think so. I think a lot of people were complaining about the first round matchups, and then they watched the NFL last weekend. They go, all football has blowouts. I think a lot of people were complaining, but I think they redeemed themselves. I mean, once you last couple of weeks, great college football action, I think it kind of redeemed itself. But that's kind of the way it is. You're giving teams home games. what are you going to expect? I mean, you know, teams are love playing at their home places. You're going to have the blowouts. I think it's been a huge success. And it's fun that we're sitting here and the championship's not until January 20th. And as long as, you know, the season keeps, we have football and football and football and college football. I think it's been a huge success. I'm glad they did it. They should have done it a long time ago, but at least they finally did it. And, you know, a few years ago, Ohio State losing to Michigan, that's the end of their season. You know, they didn't make it to the Big Ten title game. They're done. But they had a chance, like when we said, hey, you get these teams in a playoff and let's see what happened. Because think about the NFL. Think about they just gave Super Bowls. The Chiefs wouldn't have got a Super Bowl last year. They had six losses going to the playoffs. If we just gave teams, you know, a chance and not gave a team like the Chiefs a chance to compete, who had to play in the wild card game and ended up parlaying it to a Super Bowl. But that's what college football has done, and they get a better champion.
Speaking of a national championship, if Notre Dame does win, is Marcus Freeman going to be the most sought-after coach over Ben Johnson?
Wow. I think so. I think a lot of people are going to be looking at Marcus Freeman if they win this title and the job that he's done, especially with everybody looking for the culture builders and everything else in NFL with NFL teams. But, yeah, I think Marcus Freeman will be an incredibly hot name if he's able to beat Ohio State. I hope he stays in college. I like where he's at.
I like Marcus Freeman a lot, and I think culture building is the way to go, obviously, in the NFL. A lot of these teams don't have the right owners in place to do that, so I wouldn't wish the Jets or the Browns or somebody like that or the Cowboys, you know, on Marcus Freeman. Speaking of Notre Dame, though, I mean, this team not in a conference, and in this day and age where we are in college football, man, like, I think it's time that Notre Dame becomes a big boy and puts on some slacks and joins the league here, man.
You know what? I think so, too. And if I'm them, I understand where they're staying. Because, look, the $20 million, they get to all keep it. The other teams, you get to disperse that between the conference. Like, Ohio State's going to have to share that money with the other teams in the Big Ten. Notre Dame, it's all theirs, man. And they don't have a conference championship game at the end of the year where you can stub your toe and not get into the playoffs. I mean, Notre Dame's got it perfect right now. I think the other teams, in as far as college football, say, hey, Notre Dame needs to be in a conference. But if I'm Notre Dame, I'm saying, just keep it the way it is. So I understand Notre Dame's perspective. But if I'm another conference, I definitely want Notre Dame to join a conference just the way it is. I mean, things are unprecedented. I know Notre Dame's not been in a conference. That's fine. But the fact is, there wasn't 12 teams in the college football playoffs before, and now there is, so everything changes. So Notre Dame probably should get into a conference. If I'm another team, and I know a lot of other teams are pretty upset they're not in the conference, I think eventually they will be.
Talking to Jay Binkley, sponsored by Copenhagen. That's a joke, but either way you look at it, it could be. Binkley, when you look at this playoff system, do you think they should add more teams, keep it the same way, or go back to the way it was with just six?
You know what? As much as I wanted to eventually get to 16, which I think would be great, it was kind of nice now. And agreed. Not only that, but you had those first-round blowouts. So you could say it was watered down to some extent. And you say, well, if you expand it, you'll never get a team like Boise State. And then we had a Boise State. Wins the Mountain West, ends up in the football playoffs. So I think it kind of took care of everybody. Ohio State was a team that, you know, got in late, weren't a conference champion for the conference championship game, and look at where they're sitting right now. And the fact that Boise State ended up making the playoffs, I think it's perfect. They're going to expand it. You know they're going to, because expanding it means more money. But honestly, I think the 12 teams is working out perfectly.
Yeah, Cincinnati's pushing for expansion.
They need to reseed them, though. They need to reseed the first-round games. There's no reason Boise State had a bye.
Yeah, and obviously, and that's something that they can look into and get better. But Cincinnati's pushing for expansion so they can get into the playoffs, right?
Well, yeah, the Bengals, they definitely want expansion so they can get into the NFL playoffs.
But the NFL is going to expand, too. You know we're going to get 8-8. We're going to have 16 in the NFL make it in and whatnot. I'm good with you at 12. I don't think the games in the first round, fellas, warranted expansion.
Well, no, I think they got it right. The best 12 teams are the ones playing right now that had an opportunity to win a national title. I think it's great. Because Ohio State did get that mulligan. That is a good football team. You know, they barely lose to Oregon during the regular season, and they pound them in the postseason. So it's how you're playing towards the end. The Chiefs are the perfect example for that. The Chiefs were not a good football team in last December. Remember on Christmas Day, that was one of the worst games they'd had all year. Mm-hmm. They even admitted it's one of the worst games. But that team goes on and wins the Super Bowl in the NFL. You have to give teams a chance at who's playing well at the end, and that's, I think, what college football is realizing now.
All right, Binkley, who wins the national championship, Notre Dame, Ohio State?
I'm going to go with the Buckeyes, Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith was limited in the last game. He will not be limited in this one. It is the top two scoring defenses in the country. I think it'll be a really close game and a good game, but I'm going to go with Ohio State.
And how many sacks will Sam Darnold have in that game?
Sam Darnold.
That's right. Sam Darnold. Will he have more than 9 sacks in a college football game? Because that's about all where he
sacks.
Can...
That was very, very impressive to be sacked 9 times. Ugh. Very, very impressive by Sam Darnold. Has anybody fallen faster in 2 weeks than Sam?
I don't know that I've ever seen an athlete in my lifetime fall faster than what we saw out of Sam Darnold.
Here's the thing, guys. You know some team's going to pay. That's the way the NFL is. The NFL does dumb things.
And that's why there's bad teams. Will Levis. Yeah.
When everybody in the world said, don't draft Will Levis, they go out and do it. And then half the people last year were like, no, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the draft, and the Bears don't do it. Some team in the NFL will be desperate. It's just like how Derek Carr got his money and all these quarterbacks are getting paid and getting their money. Somebody will pay Sam Darnold, and it'll be a huge mistake because nobody's learning from the Deshaun Watson experience and how much a signing the round quarterback contract can cripple your team. But somebody will do it.
Well, Binkley, we'll talk to you next Wednesday about an AFC Championship game. We hope that will be played at the Arrowhead Invitational. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, fellas, take care.
See you, Jay. You know, the Giants made the mistake with Daniel Jones, right?
So did Minnesota, and ever since they signed Daniel Jones, it went south.
That did not good. Yeah, right. So if you're the Giants, like, you can't sign Sam Darnold because you've already done that.
I think you have to, kind of. Who else is going to play quarterback? Yeah, exactly.
He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Throw it, man. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about microdosing. Not in that way, but in the Chiefs way. I'll tell you what I mean by that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5. The Fan.